Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What did Joseph Smith teach Parley P. Pratt about the heavenly order of eternity? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. On page 80 of the August 2015 edition of Ensign Magazine, there is an article titled, He Taught Me the Heavenly Order of Eternity. It is an excerpt from the autobiography of Parley P. Pratt. Parley P. Pratt was a Mormon apostle. He was the brother of Orson Pratt. In fact, Parley Pratt converted to the Mormon Church in the 1830s. He was baptized by Oliver Cowdery on September 1st, 1830. He was called to be an apostle of the Mormon Church in 1835. Now, when you and I both read this article, we wondered, why would they use Parley Pratt as an example to teach about this quote-unquote heavenly order of eternity? And what he's basically talking about is the doctrine of Mormonism that teaches that husbands and wives can be sealed together throughout eternity. And that's what Pratt is alluding to.
Yeah, he was one of the original 12 apostles in 1835, as you mentioned. So this is someone of prominence. But as you just mentioned, in the 21st century, why would they use him? I think the listener will understand better what we're talking about when we're done with this. So let me read the second paragraph. And he's talking about being in Philadelphia in 1839.
Yeah, let me just preface by saying that he starts it off by talking about how he meets Joseph Smith in Philadelphia. It's not that this is a first meeting or anything like that. This is probably around 9, maybe even closer to 10 years after he has already become a member of the Mormon Church. So he's in Philadelphia and he has this alleged interview with Joseph Smith.
And so he says, during these interviews, he taught me many great and glorious principles concerning God and the heavenly order of eternity. It was at this time that I received from him the first idea of eternal family organization and the eternal union of the sexes in those inexpressibly endearing relationships. He goes on a few paragraphs later and says, it was Joseph Smith who taught me how to prize the endearing relationship of father and mother, husband and wife, of brother and sister, son and daughter. It was from him that I learned that the wife of my bosom might be secure to me for time and all eternity, and that the refined sympathies and affections which endeared us to each other emanated from the foundation of divine eternal love. It was from him that I learned that we might cultivate these affections and grow and increase in the same to all eternity, while the result of our endless union would be an offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven or the sands of the seashore.
Let me stop you there and explain to our listeners, what is he really talking about? He's talking about this idea that he is going to be sealed to his wife, and at this time his wife was Mary Ann Frost. Pratt was originally married to Thankful Halsey in 1827, and then she passed away in 1837, and that's when he marries Mary Ann Frost. So this is who he's referring to, about the wife of my bosom might be secured to me for time and all eternity. And then when it talks about having offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven or the sands of the seashore, that's a reference to the Mormon doctrine of eternal increase. Joseph Smith taught that in the hereafter, a husband and wife who was sealed to each other for time and eternity will have the ability to physically procreate spirit offspring, because they're going to do it in the same way that God the Father and Heavenly Mother are doing it, you know, as they did with us in the pre-existence. We were all spirit offspring of a Heavenly Father and Mother. That's what he's referring to, is this eternal increase.
He goes on and writes, it was from him that I learned, and referring back to Smith again, the true dignity and destiny of a son of God, clothed with an eternal priesthood, as a patriarch and sovereign of his countless offspring. It was from him that I learned that the highest dignity of womanhood was to stand as a queen and priestess to her husband, and to reign forever and ever as the queen mother of her numerous and still increasing offspring.
Again, we have to look at the proper context of this. Where does Orson Pratt feel that he is going to be reigning, as he says here, with this queen and priestess to him, her husband. Mormon leaders were teaching that they were going to get their own world, that they were going to repeat a process that has been going on since eternity past. Now, I know Mormon apologists are trying to downplay that doctrine and act as if it's not even a part of Mormonism anymore. Folks, here it is.
Yep.
Here it is. But yet they're not giving you all the details. In fact, there's a lot of details in this little piece here that you need to have a more fuller understanding of the context of what Pratt is saying in order to get a grasp of what's being taught here in the Ensign. First of all, Pratt, even though he only has one wife at the time this event takes place where he meets Joseph Smith in Philadelphia, Pratt would ultimately end up having plural wives. 6 weeks after his first wife dies, Thankful Halsey, he marries Mary Ann Frost. In 1843, he weds his first plural wife, Elizabeth Brotherton. And listen to this. I'm reading from a book called The Book of Mormons by Richard S. Van Wagner and Stephen C. Walker. This is page 218. He says, in 1843, he wed his first plural wife, Elizabeth Brotherton, and over the next 12 years, married 9 additional wives: Mary Wood, Hannah Het Snively, Belinda Marden, Sarah Houston, Phoebe Sofer, Martha Monks, Anne Agatha Walker, Keziah Downs, and Eleanor J. McLean.
But when he's writing this in 1839, he only has the one wife, so he can say the Queen Mother in a singular sense, but in reality, as we see his life down the road, he's going to have queen mothers that will be providing him all these children.
And that is not even hinted to, because this is just a small excerpt from his autobiography that comes out many years after this event takes place. Now, in that next paragraph, it said, I had loved before, but I knew not why, but now I loved with a pureness, an intensity of elevated, exalted feeling which would lift my soul from the transitory things of this groveling sphere and expand it as the ocean. Then what does he go on to say?
He says, I felt that God was my heavenly Father indeed, that Jesus was my brother, and that the wife of my bosom was an immortal, eternal companion, a kind ministering angel given to me as a comfort and a crown of glory forever and ever. In short, I could now love with the spirit and with the understanding also.
I could now love with the spirit and understanding also. Remember, folks, the same man who said he was taught by Joseph Smith this concept of being sealed to his wife for eternity and having the ability to procreate throughout eternity, what he calls this offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven, the same man that taught him that principle also taught Parley Pratt the principle of plural marriage. And that causes Parley Pratt a lot of problems down the road. Now, I'm going to want to continue reading from this book, A Book of Mormons, by Richard S. Van Wagner and Stephen C. Walker, because this is what it says on page 221. It says that Pratt, Parley Pratt, exchanged strong words in the Nauvoo Temple with his brother Orson over Parley's accusations that Orson's wife, Sarah, was ruining and breaking up his family. This would be Sarah Pratt, the wife of Orson Pratt, who, by the way, did not like polygamy at all. She did not like plural marriage. Orson complained to Brigham Young about Parley's alleged immorality, and this is a quote, if he feels at liberty to go into the city of New York or elsewhere and seduce girls or females and sleep and have connection with them contrary to the law of God and the sacred counsels of his brethren, it is something that does not concern me, end quote. Now remember, that's an accusation coming from Parley's brother. So this guy's virtue certainly has a cloud over it.
Oh, yeah.
And coming from his own brother, who was also an apostle in the Mormon church. It goes on to say, Orson was referring to Parley's relations with Belinda Marden, to whom he had been secretly sealed on November 20th, 1844. At the time, Belinda accompanied Pratt on a mission to New York. Not even his wife, Mary Ann, was aware of the marriage. When Belinda gave birth to a son in 1846, Mary Ann asked Belinda if the child were illegitimate. Told the truth, Mary Ann immediately severed her marital relationship with Pratt, though she did not divorce him until 1853 after coming to Utah.
And this is the person who, at this time, when this was written in 1839, she was the Queen Mother, and she's no longer the Queen Mother.
So she's not going to be with Pratt throughout eternity. We would assume it's questionable whether or not she would be sealed to Pratt in the next life based on the fact that she divorced him. Well, was there a temple divorce involved in this? It doesn't say in this book.
Why would she even want to be with him?
Exactly. That's a great point. Why would Mary Ann even want to be with Parley Pratt throughout eternity after having this happen to her?
Because she divorced him in this life, I see no reason why she'll want to see him in the next life.
Well, if it's a temple marriage, though, is there really that out for the women in Mormonism, unless there is a temple divorce? Because in Mormonism, they do have this concept of a temple divorce. That makes you wonder, is this thing still binding even after she leaves him in a civil divorce?
Now, Pratt dies in an interesting way. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. As I mentioned, one of the last of his plural wives was a woman by the name of Eleanor McLean. Eleanor McLean was married to a guy by the name of Hector. Hector was not a very good husband. There's no doubt about it. But here's what it says also in this book that I've been citing. Parley Pratt was murdered near Van Buren, Arkansas at the age of 50 by the legal husband of his 12th wife, Eleanor Macomb McLean. Pratt had met the McLeans in San Francisco. Her church activity and Mr. McLean's alcoholism led to separation, she moving to Salt Lake City. Though she and McLean were never divorced, Eleanor married Pratt November 14, 1855. So here you have a Mormon apostle marrying a woman who's not officially divorced from her husband.
Hmm.
Now, Hector McLean's not too happy about that. Here's how Eleanor justifies this. She declared that the marriage performed by, quote, sectarian priests is no marriage at all. And I wouldn't doubt at all if she got that idea from Joseph Smith. I wouldn't doubt that at all. But she lost custody of her children to their father, who took them to Arkansas. And when Pratt went to help her recover the children, he was arrested on a complaint sworn out by McLean for, quote, alienating the affections of his wife and attempting to abduct the children. Both Pratt, Parley Pratt, and Mrs. McLean, who had been arrested on grounds of stealing her children's clothes, were acquitted in Van Buren, Arkansas. But then the next paragraph says, immediately after the trial, Pratt headed for Missouri, where he planned to join an immigrant train west. A short distance out of town, he was overtaken by McLean, who, after missing with 6 pistol shots at the unarmed apostle, plunged a Bowie knife into his left side twice, then shot him in the neck after he had fallen from his horse. That's the man that's being glorified, if you will, in the Ensign magazine.
And that brings us to this idea of why would you put this at the back of your magazine, include this when there are so many other things they could have used to try to show eternal families being true.
It certainly does raise a big question mark as to why they would use Parley Pratt as an example. You'd think that they would be able to find something of a similar nature by someone who has a better resume.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.